welcome to another offering of Heavenly Blessings with Linda Dillon, channel for the Council of Love and author of The New You, Emerging into the Brilliance of Humanity's Heart Consciousness, and myself, Suzanne Maresca. I wasn't sure until 5 minutes ago who our guide will be for today's topic on the Universal Law of Unification. That felt kind of appropriate, though, because the Council of Love is a unified whole, bringing information to humanity through its various aspects for the highest good of all concerned. So Sanat Kumara is the one today. The law of unification is especially relevant to our experience now as we transition away from duality and into unity consciousness, understanding at a core level that we're all connected. That connection includes those we perceive as having done dark things, with an understanding that we all have our roles to play in divine service. Feel free to join us with your questions and comments by calling 323-784-9697 and press 1 so I know you'd like to come on the air with us. We'll continue taking callers by area code, so when we're ready to start doing that, I'll say your area code and bring you on the air. I'm excited about this week's discussion and the fact that in every moment that passes, we're moving closer and closer to knowing in our hearts that we're all brothers and sisters in the light. That's all of humanity, the animal kingdoms, the fairy realms, nature spirits, our star family, the celestial realm. The list is long. Welcome back, Linda.
Hi, and it's good to be back. And I have to preface what I'm going to say by saying I have a cold. And so my apologies if I have a very deep voice and cough throughout the program, but I really wanted to get back and to get on with our discussion of universal law.
Yes.
This is, I think, one of my favorite laws.
Yes.
Because it seems to really address so many of the issues that have been part of the false grid of the old third. And the fact that we are so connected, as I was saying to you, Susie, just coming from the Joshua Tree gathering for the new you, that it was an embodiment of the practice of this law. One of the things that really struck me throughout the entire time together was that everybody was in this unified family. It was, there was no sense of separation. In fact, quite the contrary, there was this deep recognition, particularly as we did our opening ceremonies, of people recognizing one another from either different lives or just recognizing each other on a really soul level, and to come together in this common purpose of reweaving the tapestry for humanity. Everybody was on point, each, you know, uniquely different and delightful, by the way, but everybody was in that same mind frame of we're here to do a job, but we're here to do it with laughter and giggles, some tears, but just a real common purpose. It was delightful. And it was sort of the application, the example, the living example of this law. No one is separate. The land, the buildings, the cushions, the people, the instruments, the celestials, the star beings that were present. It's like we're all one.
The unified field. It's a beautiful thing. I really want to thank you, Linda, for continuing to show up and share your gifts with the human collective. Sometimes I think that mission and service is the only thing keeping us in form, yet it feels like the thing to do. I mean, we've earned the right to maintain and transform our physical vessels, but right now they could still feel quite limiting. So thank you very much for showing up even when you have a cold.
Oh, thank you, Susie. Thank you. I sometimes find the limitations or what I choose to allow into my body quite amazing. But here I am. So, yes.
Here we are, yes. And my meditations these days have become very simple, and it's all about unification in a very big, energetic way. I mean, I've taken to heart when they tell us to think big, so I've absolutely been thinking big in my meditations, and it's all about unification, all in one big, glowing, ball of fabulous light. And that's everything, all the kingdoms I mentioned before, calling in the whales and dolphins and the trees and just everything you can think of that's here. And of course, there's lots that we don't know about that's here, but we'll call them in too. And also,
you start to call them in. I know that in the last little while, my partner Isaac and I, as we walk our little dog Eliza at night, we have started to see, and I'm so glad I'm not alone in this, but we have started to see creatures that we've never seen before.
Ooh.
It's the weirdest thing. And, you know, not just off in the distance or across the river, but like scurrying across the street in front of us, and we look at each other, and it's not an animal or a creature that we've ever seen or we've ever known, and we just look at each other, but it's solid. It's solid form.
Wow.
It's not like we sometimes see an apparition or a, you know, just a shadow, but these are solid beings, and it's to me, it's that sensation that creatures that we haven't known about or that we're not familiar with are actually beginning to show themselves, because our capacity to be part of that unified field is really opening up. So it's exciting. And again, in Joshua Tree, you know, there were star beings, and not everybody saw the people that were in the building with us, but there were star beings in the mix with the conference with us. There was the Neptune, a mothership, was hovering above the building at night. Everybody saw the rainbow ships. So it was this sensation of breaking through what we have thought of as what's available to us. It's so cool.
It is cool. I agree. And another thing that's happened with my meditations that I mentioned last night was that, you know, up until now, my intuition, my guidance has come in the form of visions and ideas. And now it's become more like a conversation, okay? Like I'm having a conversation with people that are just right here with me. I'm not seeing them yet, but I'm definitely hearing them, and it's more like, well, it's more like that, just exactly that. Maybe doing this show has helped me to move into that, but it really, it's a very delightful new phase, I guess. Of
that's fabulous news. You know, I teach, I have taught, both in person and on the webinar series, how to channel. And what I say to people is, because it's not about getting a new job or starting a new career as a channeler, but it's getting to the point exactly of what you've just said. It's getting to that point where you're just in that constant conversation with your guides, with the angelic realm, with the masters. So, girlfriend, you're there.
Yeah. It's exciting. And I know that they're, you know, in helping me prepare for the show, they help me with the questions and things like that, which I'm very grateful for. And it just feels very natural. I'm really good with it.
Yahoo. So am I.
That's right. So what do you think? Is it a good time for meditation?
I think it's a great time for meditation.
Fabulous. Thank you so much.
So let's begin by relaxing. Let's take a nice deep breath of gold, the gold of the autumn sun, of the leaves of the oak trees and the maple trees and the beech trees as they change color, the gold of chrysanthemums, and let's throw in a little bit of spring daffodil. And feel that warm golden glow of an autumn afternoon. Around 4 o'clock in the afternoon as you walk, and you can feel that sun on your face, and you're not hot and you're not cold, and you're just cozy. and breathe gold, the gold of Yahweh, the gold of Archangel Gabriel, and the gold of Sanat Kumara. And relax, letting go of the week and what lies ahead of your to-do list. And just take this time for you, for your sweet self that is so loved and so deserving of this time, of this gift of time for you. And feel your energy sinking into your heart, deeper and deeper, as we travel yet again to our golden chambers. And in the center of your heart, see that tiny pinprick of light, that tiny speck of brilliant white light, and it's the portal to your heart, it's the portal to ascension, and it's the portal to love. And feel yourself migrating towards it with your wings fully unfurled as you sense the air lifting you and gliding as you fly through that portal, that doorway, that pinprick of light into the interior of your heart, into those golden chambers, and as you arrive, you see once again the writing, the symbols, the messages that you have written on the walls of your heart about your sacred purpose and intent, about your dreams and creations, about what you are willing to give and receive. And take a moment and look at them and to feel how closely you are in alignment with your plan. And let that sense of satisfaction, of alignment, anchor within you. And give you that deep, warm glow of knowing you're on track. Now find your chair or your cushion or your seat. As today we work with the law of unification, of unity. Always, we have looked within our chambers for the information in our creation work. But today, we are going to send out from our heart these wonderful golden filaments, these threads, beautiful, rich, burnished golden threads out into the universe to connect, to be part of the unified grid. And what each one of us chooses to connect with will be different. For some, it will be the kingdoms, the devas, the fairies, the gnomes, the leprechauns. For some, it will be the wolves, the bears, the elephants, the animal kingdom. For others, it will be the rivers and oceans, the sky and the air, our star brothers and sisters. It's whatever you choose. So see about half a dozen of these wonderful golden threads simply traveling out from your heart and connecting with what you love, with what you cherish, and with what or whom you would wish to build a closer connection, to feel a greater unification with. So go ahead. And if you don't know, just send out those filaments and let them show you where they're going. And breathe gold. And allow. And make those connections. And as you do, as you connect heart to heart, feel the two-way transmission that's beginning to take place right now. And the love and the information and the energy that is being sent back to you right now. And open and receive. Allow. And let this love that's being sent to you expand your heart even larger, way outside your physical body. And feel that sense of belonging. All of us want to belong. No matter what. So anchor that sense of being part of something bigger. And of being loved and cherished. And hold on to it. And over the next days and weeks, build on it. Send out your filaments. Not yourself, but your filaments. Your calling card that says, I'm here. And I'm not only willing, I'm wanting to connect. when you're ready, just open your eyes, and I'll step aside. Greetings, I am Sanat Kamara.
Welcome.
And welcome to you. Yes, you may call me Sanat, you may call me SK, you may call me Raj. And I am pleased that you have called me. For there were many who wished to speak this day on this delightful topic of unification. Because, of course, it is the fiber, the matrix of who we all are. Throughout the multiverse, throughout the omniverse that the Mother, Father, One has created. It's very large. And yet within this, there is not one speck of dust, one molecule of water or dirt that does not have a unique place within this multiverse. And there is a knowing of all the kingdoms. And certainly amongst your star brothers and sisters, and even those of very distant galaxies, of the interconnectedness of all, and that what one does affects the whole. This is one of the areas that I particularly wish to speak to this day. It is how your heart, your thoughts, your actions, your position affects the totality. And I wish to address this in the most positive of manners. Beloved friends, I speak to you as brother, not simply as planetary logos or keeper of the universal law. I speak to you as brother and friend. I speak to you perhaps as older brother, that you would sit, or older sister for that matter, when you would sit at 9 or 10, and you would ask those questions of such a private, blushing, confidential nature of how things worked biologically. Well, now is time to have the true conversation, and there is certainly no room for embarrassment or hesitation or confidentiality, for that matter, because we want your entire planet to know and understand how things work. You, each and every one of you, are an essential part, unique and beautiful, but essential to the whole. Dare I say, to the operational structure of the whole. You cannot build a plane or a complicated piece of machinery and simply omit a ball bearing or a screw or a piece of metal. It is not possible. The whole thing collapses. It is far too risky. And so it is with each of you. You are essential components, elements in the mother's plan. She did not birth you and then forget about you. That is not within the realm of possibility. And you think, but she has birthed so much, and so much has been created. How can I matter? How can I count? It is a very honest and true question that you pose. How can you matter in such a massive expanse of the universe? And in your human mind, yes, even in your fifth, sixth, and seventh dimensional minds, it is boggling to think that in this gigantic universe, that you are not only attended to and loved, noticed and noted, but essential and critical to the whole. Otherwise, you would not have been birthed. Otherwise, you would have remained at home. It is not simply that you wished to go exploring, that you wished to move out of home. The birthing of your spark of love, what you tend to think of as your spark of light, was very much a planned event. And one that was heralded with anticipation and joy. And that is your birthright. It is the joy of knowing who you are, of your incredible uniqueness, and yet you are completely interlinked to everything else in the omniverse. You may try, and each of you has at times, to exclude yourself. And there are certainly times when you have felt excluded, isolated, separated. But it is not of truth. And it most certainly is not of love. Now, when you feel this way, when you feel or experience the slightest dislocation. And let me preface what I say. I do not go into this to bring forth the old paradigm of fault, blame, guilt, shame. You are done with that. So place it aside. Now, when you feel the slightest dislocation, emotional, mental, physical, in any way, shape, or form, yes, whether it is a cold or a heartbreak or a financial challenge, a sibling who does not understand and it hurts your feelings, a partner who does not value you, a misunderstanding or a feeling of rejection or loss, when you feel what we refer to as any feeling of dislocation, it is not only known, but felt, not assumed, but felt and noted throughout the entire grid. And you can say to me, well, Raj, so much for privacy. And I would say you are correct. But why do I tell you this? Because as soon as that dislocation is felt, help, assistance, in an entire variety of ways that are appropriate to you and to us. And when I say us, I mean all the kingdoms of Gaia as well. Rush to your aid. So when you feel that you have been forgotten and alone, there are literally thousands, millions of energies that are penetrating you, breaking down that false idea, but more importantly, touching and filling your heart. The knowing of this connectedness is important, not simply so that you know that assistance comes to you, but that you know that you also go and send that assistance, and that so much of your work is done in this manner. We have talked to you about how your energy field, which is enormous, transmits so much information, energy, and love, not only on your planet, not only to the kingdoms, but throughout the universe. And it is this deep recognition within you of this power, in the most positive sense of the word, that you hold. So it is the collective power that comes together when you are alone. There are times when you are a raging river and very powerful. There are times when you are a trickling stream. But when you consciously come together in the understanding of unification, you are like the Hoover Dam of the universe. Now, do you have questions of me?
I do. I do have a few. And you've already spoken to this, but I think that the pain at the very core of the human experience has been the illusion that we're alone on this journey. So the very idea of it brings us to a place of longing for connection with others, whether we're aware of it or not. So the collective desire to belong to something drives us to seek answers about why we feel so dreadful, and so we set out on a path to try to understand and get some answers. My question is this: are we at an evolutionary place now where there's no longer any energy holding that illusion of separation in our hearts? Is this the filtering through to the consciousness of all of humanity?
That is correct. And you know what you are really also referring to? Your ascension. There are those that will ascend in a snap, as it were. Mm-hmm. And you know that those are the most recalcitrant, and those who have avoided these various topics very assiduously. But all of you, and certainly all of you who are listening to me this day, are either on this show or as the recording, have been on this journey of elimination. And it has been eliminating this idea of separation, mm-hmm. of isolation. And in your own quiet way, and sometimes very noisy way, coming to this place that we have yearned for, of knowing that you are not alone. You never have been alone. And that rather than an occasional feeling of connectedness, either in nature or in meditation or with a certain group of people, you are reaching that place where that illusion has simply dissipated from your heart. It no longer exists. So that false grid, that paradigm that has been part and parcel of the, shall we say, the dark times of the human condition is gone. Now, are there times when you fall back into it? And that is why I have begun by saying, when you are in that dark place, allow all the energies that are floating across the grid, streaming across the grid at the speed of love, to enter. So that it becomes not even a hiccup. Because there is no room for it. It is not the truth of who you are, and it certainly is not the truth of the fifth dimension. There is no room for it. So, dear hearts, you have graduated.
Well, that's a beautiful thing and good news. One question that may be in the thoughts of many is regarding those who just want to continue learning and having experience in lower dimensions. So maybe we humans aren't ready for that information yet, and no one seems to really know how it will come to be that each of us gets to move on to what we desire, as disparate as those desires may be. So will someone like my conservative right-wing brother who watches Fox News be rehabilitated, or will he live out his life in a reality similar enough to this one that he won't notice it, and will he also not notice the fact that I'm not part of his life anymore? Can you speak to that?
I can speak to that. And as you know, I am rather a blunt master.
Awesome.
Although I do not really think of myself so much as a master, as a keeper of the law.
Mm-hmm.
This is the free will zone. And that is the wonderful. There are two aspects to what you think of as the third dimension. And it is not simply about time and space and measurement, depth, length. It is about the quality of free will and physicality. The mother has, in her plan and her wisdom, always said that we will not interfere with free will. Now, that does not mean that even those who seem most enmeshed, shall we say,
mm-hmm.
will not be given increasingly aha moments. Moments of divine inspiration and insight. Now you are receiving them daily.
Mm-hmm.
They will receive them if they allow them. Now, it's going to be for them a little bit like being shocked or tasered or even in some situations, hit by lightning.
Oh.
But in their soul design and soul desire, they have said yes. But there is a point at which, if that is the decision, then they will simply migrate to a different reality. Now, we are not talking, and it is not part of the plan, let me be very clear, because I am planetary logos for Earth, for Gaia. Mm-hmm. There is no plan at this moment to create an alternate Gaia. There is much discussion upon your planet about parallel Earths or planetary systems.
Yes.
That is not the plan.
Okay.
These people will migrate, transition, shall we say. You will notice that many are dying. And they will very rapidly, as if they are going through a turnstile, be relocated on a planet in another universe that has the illusion of continuing to be on Earth. But it will not be Earth.
Right. Wow.
So there is a decision point. Archangel Michael yesterday has said that this is a time of decision and choices. And you are seeing this, that there is what we are looking at as a crescendo effect. Think of it as music. There is a crescendo happening in this, what you think of as time and space. Listen to the music and to the sound of the universe and the sound of your planet. It is reaching a crescendo, and that is the point of decision.
Right.
So, are all equally welcome? Yes, because even those who have played the most dramatic recalcitrant roles have done well in doing so,
mm-hmm.
in eliminating that duality polarity. So they are welcome. It is not judgment. It is not saints and sinners. It is all.
Right. I've been thinking about this a lot lately in terms of being creator beings, okay, and that we're kind of growing up into those capabilities. And, of course, wondering, you know, what actually is the point of all this? Will dark be eliminated forever everywhere? And the answer that I got is no, because that is a requirement of creating the contrast that the group Abraham talks about, the contrast that we need as human beings to, or pretty much anyone, that we need to be able to set an environment in which we can learn, expand, get bigger, get back to source. So I don't even know if that's a question or not, but...
what you have done as a human race, and now I speak to you of millions and millions and millions of years, is you have used the dark in terms of duality polarity. So often you have said, this is dark, this is light, and you have grasped the concept that, first of all, what you think of as darkness and light are still all part of one.
Right.
And so when you use it for clarity, for definition, for delineation, it is one thing. But the evolved, and might I say, just for purposes of clarification, the higher dimensional beings, which you already are, align themselves with the choices for love, which you assume is light.
Mm.
Now, there are gradations. There have always been gradations. Think of it as material. Do you want the rough, nubbly wool because it has the texture and the stimulation and the warmth that you are seeking? Or do you wish a very fine, fine silk that is as clear as a wisp? Both have qualities that are desirable and help you decide what it is you wish to pursue or to use for a certain situation. So when you think of darkness, the idea, the concept of darkness takes on different meaning. It helps you delineate. But your choice is to be in alignment with love. So it is a question of, does this element of shadow help me be in better alignment, clearer alignment, or does it not? So the judgment factor that this is good and this is bad, this is light, this is dark, this is good, this is evil, is gone, because you, as evolved beings, no longer need that juxtaposition,
right,
of good and evil.
Mm-hmm.
You have eliminated, you have left behind what you in your third dimensional old way came to define as darkness. Is that clear to you?
It is. It is. Thank you very much for that. All right, so I have one more question. So far, we long to belong, yet we resist joining, and the resistance is fear-based. So many of us have had some rather grim group experiences that aren't easy to release the residue of in this and perhaps multiple past incarnations. These can be challenging beliefs to extract from our bones, and I was wondering if you might offer a practice to help us to let go of any and all such false grids around safety and groups.
Yes, it is what you most desire, is what you most fear.
Yes, exactly.
And there is a wonderful exercise that Archangel Michael has gifted. And yes, that is part of the new you. But it is to remove these false grids, because fear of belonging and fear of interaction with human beings, it is still simply a fear.
Yeah.
Now, it is based in experience of rejection and isolation and heartbreak. I would never wish to minimize or deny that. But it is still a limitation factor of fear. And so what you do, dear hearts, is you lie down on your bed. Yes, Michael gives me permission to share this. You lie down on your bed. And the reason we have you lie down is because we want you to be able to feel the sensation, and you will, the sensation of this false grid that is lying over you. And it will be different for each grid or each belief. So using this example of being fear, in fear of belonging to a group because that group energy has harmed you or hurt you, and in some cases broken and killed you. You only want to feel this but for a moment. And you do not need to relive the traumas involved. That is not part of this. That is old energy and no longer needs to apply. So you simply feel the weight of the grid. For some of you, it will be like barbed wire or iron bars or velvet ribbon. It matters not. Then simply ask Archangel Michael to remove it. He will either lift it off of you, dissolve it into sheer energy, take care of it in that way, and let it go. Now the second part, Michael takes care of the dissolution. But the second part I wish to speak to today as well is when you have gotten up, when you have worked through the completion, and you may have to do this several times, because this is a very big issue for many people.
Yes.
What you are going to do is then put it, you are going to test drive it. So you are going to gently, softly, perhaps initially just with the golden filaments out from your heart, go and connect to a group energy. But excuse me.
Yes.
But I also want you to put it into practice. So place yourself into a group. Now, do not begin this foray by putting yourself into a group that you are fearful of to start with. So, for example, dear heart, I'm not suggesting that if you, say, are fearful of the Republican Party, which has many, many, many good people. We know this. But that you go and join that party and start attending functions. Begin your exercise by putting yourself in situations where you know you have some commonality of mind and spirit. And test the waters and enjoy it. And then build it out and build it out and build it out.
Yes, that's a great idea. What comes to mind is going out to sing karaoke last Tuesday. I had a really good time.
And you thought it was a stretch. And it was. And it was exactly the kind of thing of putting yourself outside your familiar comfort zone and in a situation where you could play.
Yeah.
We're not asking you to change who you are. We would never want you to change who you are. But you brought your light to that situation and you shared it. And you saw that it could be enjoyable.
Yes. Yes, yes, I'm going again tonight.
And I will be there as well.
All right. Yeah, I definitely felt I felt a crew around and with me and doing the work right with me. So I have a clearing question, if I may. My daughter has been having some bad dreams, and she's really been suffering over the past weeks, actually. And I keep telling her that my feeling is that it's all clearing stuff because she carries a lot of fear, and I know that she can't bring it where humanity is going. She noticed two nights ago that her dreams had become a little bit more gentle, and I suggested to her that perhaps that was the help of her guides and masters and angels, because she needs to have these dreams to go through her process, but they're making it not quite so terrifying, and that she's getting the help that she asked for. So can you speak to that process a little
that
bit?
That is absolutely correct. And there are many within the human collective that process a great deal during their dream time. And they do so in order to make their waking hours bearable, because they cannot, the enormity of what they are processing is more fluid and easier, more easily accessed when they are in the dream state. Now, what is also happening for many, both waking and sleeping, is that you are processing for many.
Right.
So if you have been, and let me be clear about this, you are not processing, for example, you would not be processing the horrors of the intergalactic war and devastation or the Holocaust if you were not part of that.
Mm-hmm.
But that collective energy is so large that you are processing it for yourself and for many. Now, you may have cleared, for example, your own issues around the intergalactic devastation or Atlantis devastation or Holocaust devastation, but because you have been, you have that genetic, spiritual, and physical DNA, you have also taken it on for many. And so many are doing it through the dream time. But what is also occurring in the dream time is that it is becoming lighter and lighter and lighter.
Yeah.
Because the burdens are being released.
Yes. Well, I have to say, as her mom, I'm really hoping she catches a break sometime soon, because it seems so... I know that she must have agreed to do this on some level, but her life has not been very easy, and it's been pretty tough for her, so she must be a mighty being indeed, because she's been...
The ones that are doing this are mighty beings, and there is a safeguard that the mother herself puts someone on what you would think of as sabbatical, if it becomes too intense.
Right.
And you can always request of a mother to be put on sabbatical as well.
Okay. All right. Well, I've given her that information, and maybe on some level she's chosen not to. I don't really know. Anyway, all right, so we have one caller. If someone else would like to... oh, we just lost her. All right, well... So we have no callers today. If anyone would like to ask a question of Sanat Kumara, the call-in number is 323-784-9697. Or we can give Linda a break and say, go have a rest because you have a cold and you are so appreciated.
I think we will choose the latter, dear heart. Because I have arranged this in this manner.
Beautiful.
And so we will return next week to speak of transmutation.
Okay.
And yes, I will be your guest.
Thank you. It's wonderful. I'm excited about this one.
I go in peace, and I send you all my infinite love. Farewell.
Farewell. Thank you.
Hi, it's Linda.
Hi, Linda. Welcome back.
Well, thank you, SK.
SK used to be my
listener.
My name. Yes.
Yes. And you're right. My energy level is probably not as high as it could be. And so I will accept the gift of an early show today.
Yes, yes, it's all in perfect order. So, so thank you so much. I am also looking forward to next week, transmutation and of Calvin.
Oh, transmutation! Now we're getting into the real creation.
Yeah.
Laws. Transmutation, instantaneous transmission, attraction and repulsion. So this is going to be fun.
Yes.
So it'll be very much hands-on in terms of how do we work with these creation laws? Because that's really another word for universal law. It's how creation works. So I'm eager.
Yes, I'm eager. This whole thing has been an awesome experience, and I thank you for it, and I'm happy to be part of it.
Oh.
Anyway, get some rest, ladies.
Ditto, my friend. Ditto.
Ditto. Ditto.
So,
all right.
All right. All my love, everybody. Bye-bye.
Okay.
Bye.
All right.